There's a lot to be said for the winter. The darkness comes down early, and you get the dinner over and settle down in front of the fire. You push your chair back, wriggle down into it, yawn a bit, and stare into the log fire. The flames curl out bit by bit and draw you in. For a log fire is a spellbinder as ancient as the sea.
The young lady is obviously about to lose herself in the familiar fascination of a good log fire. So we shall just whisper that this is the Columbia Workshop and that our story today is by a young Australian writer named Barbara Woodward, and that the workshop director is Albert Ward. Well, now here we are, back to the pleasant, drowsy sounds of the crackling wood. Listen to Tongues of Fire.
You stare into the fire, and after a while you lose everything but the sensation of warmth, the impact of hot color, and the antique shadows on the wall. You can't hear the thoughts you want to think for the hissing and crackling of the fire. The fire hisses and you stare. And after a while, you imagine the strangest things.
You've got eyes, haven't you?
It must be this light. Firelight plays tricks, but you look like a witch.
That's right.
You mean you are?
Nothing else. Where are your manners? What do you usually say when people come to call?
How do you do?
You don't know much, do you? Don't you know that the only correct way to address a witch is how now?
Of course. How now, you secret black and midnight hag?
Well, I must say, I think that's overdoing it a bit. Well, aren't you going to ask me to sit down?
Oh, of course. Do.
Anyone else here?
No, my husband's out.
I'm glad he is. On my spell, it's good to sit down.
It must be very windy out tonight.
All depends how you're out. If you're on the ground, it's windy. If you're broomstick-borne, it's bronchial. Positively bronchial.
Oh, you look terribly cold. Let me get you a cup of hot milk.
Milk? Cow's milk? What do you think I am, a cherub?
Oh, cherubs drink milk, do they? Cherubs like Cupid?
Not Cupid. Cupid drinks gin.
Well, what would you like?
Well, I don't think you've anything highly flavored enough for me. Thanks, dearie. Yeah. Want to know why I'm here?
Well, I suppose you've come to do something for us.
Dead toads, no. I want you to do something for me.
But fairies, witches, all people like that come to help mortals, not to be helped.
If you're confusing witches and fairies, dear, you're making a terrible mistake.
Well, I've never heard of a witch asking for help before.
Neither have I. And what's the use of being a 13th century witch in a 20th century world? I'm all for establishing new precedents.
Oh, you're politically inclined?
No, not really. Grimalkin's the girl for that. You'll meet her.
You're going to introduce me to more witches?
Of course.
Then perhaps when my husband's at home...
A man? Oh, no. You wouldn't see any of the girls agreeing to that.
Well, I'd like to know why not. Andrew's marvelous. Everybody thinks so.
I've met him. He didn't strike me that way.
Oh, you haven't met him.
You don't want to contradict a witch, dearie. Nothing irritates us more. How long have you been married?
Ever since Andrew got back from the war.
The war? That's where I knew Andrew.
I don't believe you.
Did he ever tell you about the night his plane was hit and the wing caught on fire?
What?
About 30,000 feet up?
Yes, he told me.
I put out that fire.
You? But how?
I sacrificed a perfectly good broomstick. The smoothest running stick I ever had for your thankless husband. I beat out that fire with my stick and had to get a lift back to base with a witch I can't stand.
So you saved my husband's life?
To put it tritely, yes.
Oh, how can you be so callous about it? You do a wonderful thing like that and then you make a joke of it.
Oh, well, it didn't seem so serious to me. I just happened to be operating that night. Oh, I was cruising along, singing, coming in on a spell and a straw. Coming in on a spell and a straw. Yes, well, anyway, I saw this bomber in trouble, so I pushed the stick forward and went down to see if I could help.
You were fighting with the Allies, then?
Oh, we didn't like the Germans or the Japs. I tell you, when you've been the leading forces of evil for centuries, you don't like to be superseded. But what we witches hated most about the war was radar.
Radar?
The end of privacy.
Oh.
Oh, it was too nerve-wracking altogether, trying to hold on to your hat and your stick and hold your skirts down. Because, dearie, you never knew when you might be flying straight onto somebody's radar screen.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm awfully grateful you saved my husband.
Oh, yes. Well, now that's the whole point. Are you?
Well, I just said I am. Of course I'm grateful.
Will you do something for me in return?
Why, of course I will. If I can.
Good. Now I'll call in the girls.
Well, wait a moment. Surely there aren't more witches outside.
Only take a jiffy. I'd introduce you. Oh, by the way, I'm Hecate.
Any last name?
Just Hecate Hag. Oh, they'll be here. We're so short of broomsticks, we had to come down 8 to a bar. Come in, girls!
How now, everybody?
How now?
How now?
This is Grimalkin. She's very politically conscious.
Oh, that's interesting. What are you seeking?
Broomstick endowment for every witch and a pension for those 700 years and over.
And this is Mirrodil, our pin-up crone. She is liaison officer to the wizard.
How now?
I'll introduce the rest of them in a minute. But before I forget, girls, I've had a victory. This lady's on our side. Everything's going to be all right. She's going to help us. Come on, since I wasted so much time last night talking you into this shopping expedition, I'm pretty keen to get started.
Now, don't rush me, Hecate. Now, look, we can't go downtown like this. Can't you leave that broomstick at home?
Out of the question.
But if you're invisible to everyone but me, it looks as though I'm carrying it. I look such a fool with a broomstick slung over my shoulder.
Can't be helped, dearie. I don't go anywhere without the broomstick.
Oh, dear. And another thing, Hecate. I'm worried about Grimalkin and those other witches alone in the house. They might do anything.
They might do a little cooking.
That's what I'm afraid of, Hecate. I'm going back. I can't have them mixing their horrible potions in my kitchen.
Ah, they won't waste their potions on you. Rats and newts and noxious weeds are far too scarce. If I know the girls, they'll just sweep out the house for you. Taxi!
Now, behave yourself, Hecate, or the man will think there's something wrong. I'll get in first.
All right.
Where to, miss?
Hewson's Hats, King Street, please, driver.
Bring in that broomstick with you, miss. Look, I'll just put it in front with me.
Take your dirty hands off my broomstick.
All right, I... Was that you, miss?
I think it might be better if you left it here, driver. Now, Hecate, please.
Quite all right up front.
Hold that stick or I'll bite you.
What's going on here?
Driver, I'd really much rather keep the stick with me.
Oh, Hecate. Right.
All right. Have it your own way, then.
What's the matter, driver?
Who've you got there with you?
What?
What's going on? Someone just leaned over my shoulder and pushed that meter down.
Oh, but that's impossible. There's nobody here but me.
It's not impossible. I felt it. Didn't you hear the meter click? Now, you get out of my cab straight away. Go on, out you get. Don't think you can play your sideshow tricks on me. Go on, I'm not having any funny business in my cab.
Just be good enough to keep calm for a moment till I get this broomstick out.
I'll get the flaming broomstick out for you. Ow!
I told you I'd bite you if you touched my broomstick again.
I'll have the law on you!
Oh, Hecate, why did you have to do that?
He was cheating us. The meter was showing 2 shillings from his last fare. I'm a fair-minded witch. If you've got a grouch against a person, well, turn the babies into pigs or fowls. I've got nothing against that. Everyone knows where they are, then. But this miserable, petty cheating.
Oh, here's a tram. Now, Hecate, once we're in there, please keep quiet and stay still.
Hurry on, please. Hurry on, please.
How in the name of Nightfine do you think we're going to get in?
We'll get in all right. It's not nearly as full as usual.
Not full? No room in there for a fairy. I'll give this fat gentleman a nip.
Hey, who pinched me? Look at that. Women carrying darn full broomsticks. Not much wonder there's no room in the tram.
You keep a civil tongue in your head, or you might find a lizard hanging out of your mouth instead.
Hush, Hecate, he might hear you.
Well, supposing he did.
Well, he wouldn't understand. Hecate, before the salesgirl comes, how are you going to try the hat on when she can't see you?
Oh, you try it on. Doesn't matter if it's a bit big. I keep it on with an elastic under my chin anyway.
Good afternoon, madam. Could I do anything for you?
Yes. That high black hat in the window, could I try it on?
Oh, certainly, madam. It's a very attractive style. I think it will suit you. Now, oh, that is charming, isn't it? Of course, with your lovely straight nose.
It isn't going to be on our lovely straight nose.
I beg your pardon, madam.
Oh, I was just thinking. What do you think of it, Hecate?
Oh, not bad. I see the fashions are catching up with us at last. Tell her to rip off those tizzy flowers and put on a decent, self-respecting buckle.
I like this hat very much. But I don't like these flowers. Could you take them off and put on a buckle for me?
Oh, but, madam, I don't think you'd like it. Those flowers are very, very soft. A buckle would make it look, well, like an old witch's hat.
She'd better watch her tongue, old witch.
But it could be done, couldn't it?
It would be 6 guineas.
6 guineas? But I want 2 gross of them.
Oh, madam, you must be reasonable. Our stocks are so low, and we're so short of materials, we can't allow any customer to have more than 2 hats.
Oh, but I want one for all the girls in my group. We haven't had a single new garment for ages. Not since the Middle Ages.
Well, here we are. Stevens Department Store. My husband, Andrew, works here. If we can't get anything from the salesman, we'll see if he can do anything about it.
But the salesman will give them to us if he's got them.
Oh, no. Not these days. You've got to know somebody.
I don't care to know anybody. Well, I'll just ask for 50 to start with, since they seem to be so short of everything.
Now, look here, Hecate. I'm doing what I can to help you. You'll spoil everything unless you keep quiet and let me do the talking.
Yes, madam. What can I do for you?
Have you any millet brooms?
Madam, are you trying to be funny?
Certainly not.
They're completely unprocurable. We haven't had any for weeks. Really, it does amuse me the way you people come in and demand these things.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. What happened?
What happened?
Did the broomstick hit you on the ear?
Madam, you know perfectly well what happened. You did it deliberately.
Oh, look, I'm terribly sorry if I hurt you, but it must have just slipped. I had nothing to do with it.
I can't imagine why you brought the broom with you, madam. I presume you want to replace it, but there's no need to bring that in to show us. There's only one design, after all. Though I must say that one of yours is a trifle passé.
Oh, Hecate, behave yourself.
Well, that is the last straw.
The last straw of the last broom.
I've never had to put up with anything like this before in all my life. Mr. McIntosh! Mr. McIntosh!
Yes, what is it, Smithers?
This woman, I just told her very politely that we didn't have any brooms. And out of pure pique, she struck me twice. Struck me?
Is that so, madam? Oh, hello, darling.
Oh, hello, Andrew.
Don't be such a darn fool, Smithers. No. This is my wife.
Whether she is your wife or not, sir, she hit me on the ear twice with that broom.
Smithers, I can't imagine my wife hitting anybody. But I've noticed you being very high-handed with the customers for a long time. And if someone would hit you, it would be the very best thing that could happen. Now get on with your work.
Well, of all the impertinence.
How are you, sweetie?
Oh, darling, you're wonderful.
Don't you ever stop thinking that.
Where do I come in on this?
Oh, darling, I'm in such a mess. I want a broom terribly badly.
A broom?
Yes.
Well, don't look so sad about it.
But the man said you hadn't any millet brooms.
We haven't. But we've got some good soft brooms. How about this?
No, won't do. Wouldn't be seen dead riding one of those brooms.
No? Oh, no, that's not really what I want.
I think it's all we've got.
Don't forget your wonderful Andrew wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me and my broom.
Oh, dear. Oh. Well, Andrew, they must have some stock somewhere that they haven't opened up.
I don't know of any. You'd have to ask the general manager about that.
Oh, him? Do we have to go through him?
Don't forget how I came to lose my broomstick.
Oh, all right. Let's go and see the general manager.
Well, we haven't got any brooms exactly like the one you're carrying with you, Mrs. McIntosh. I've never seen one quite like that before. It's very red, isn't it?
Oh, it doesn't have to be exactly the same.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have got a few brooms stored away, just a few. I think we could manage to get you one. You know, your husband's one of the most valuable men, Mrs. McIntosh. It's a poor store that can't look after its own, eh?
He's a pompous toad. I'd like to pop him into a stew.
Hush, Hecate.
I think it could be managed, Mrs. McIntosh. It was really up to the owner of the store, of course, Mr. Stevens. I'll catch him sometime when he's in a good mood and see what can be done.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Would one broom be enough, or would you like two?
Well, nothing less than 50 is much good to me, if it could be managed.
50?
Darling, what are you thinking of?
Oh, I know it sounds terrible, Andy, but if you knew the facts of the case, you'd be the first to say I must get them. It's because of what she did for you. We owe it to her.
But I don't understand, darling.
I'll explain it to you all later. Mr. Granger, I must apologize for seeming to be so greedy. But is there any way that I could get 50 brooms?
Well, I don't know. Well, But this is all a bit beyond me. I thought you were only wanting one broom.
Oh, I am sorry. You must think I'm dreadful. I don't expect you to get them for me, of course. But could you tell me any way that I could go about it?
Well, I suppose it could be done if you knew the right people.
I'm glad I only go shopping every 700 years.
Let's see now. Well, if you send a written application to me, in triplicate, that is, I could send it on with a covering note asking them to do it as a personal favor to me, you understand, to the Board of Brooms. Well, then they'd have to apply to the Department of Industry, and they'd probably have to have the backing of the Health Board before they could get permission from the Trade Council. But if I get in touch with the right people, I think it could be managed. What did you say you want these brooms for?
For general cleaning.
General cleaning? Oh, no, you better not say that. After all, anyone could say that. You better say it's for charity work.
Oh, do I have to pose as a social worker to get a new broom?
Hickety, what's the matter? Oh, she's fainted.
Get me a drink, quick. I can't stand this life.
Oh, Hickety, are you all right?
Oh, I feel so sick. So nice up where I come from.
Darling, what are you doing on the floor? Who do you think you're talking to?
Oh, Andy, she's almost fainting.
Darling, have you been feeling like this long? Why didn't you tell me? Mr. Granger, would you give me permission to take my wife home in a cab? She doesn't seem at all well.
Certainly, my boy. I think you'd better take her straight away.
Oh, Andrew, I'll be quite all right if you'll just put me in a cab. I can take myself home.
I'll go and get one. Back in a minute.
Most extraordinary. She imagines she's with somebody.
Oh, Hickety, I'm taking you home in just a moment. Are you all right?
I feel so sick.
I've got your broom, Hickety.
Oh.
Do you think you can walk into the house all right?
I felt better the day they ducked me in the pond and burnt me. I never realized what you women go through shopping.
Oh, look at the garden. What on earth happened to it?
Looks as though the girls haven't been wasting any time.
But they've trimmed away my herbaceous borders. And where's the hedge?
Oh, I don't know how to tell them that I couldn't get the things. All that driven about short of stock strikes. But if you only apply in triplicate, send it on to the board, to the council, to the association, to the department. But don't say what you want it for. Think up a good one, and you've got to know the right people.
Oh, if you were one of us, you'd get used to all the inconvenience. It's part of the post-war period, you know.
Best argument I ever heard for abolishing war. There wouldn't be any post-war period.
Oh, you'll get proper perspective on these things after a while. You've just got a case of shopping blues, that's all.
Makes me feel as though I've lived a few centuries too long. And actually, I'm only a flapper, as witches go.
Come off it, Hecate. Who do you think's going to believe that?
Oh, how now, Mirabelle? How now, girls?
How now, dearie?
How now?
How now, everybody?
You've been gone long enough. Where are the new broomsticks? Where are those new hats of ours?
I know. They're being sent.
They're not being sent.
Well, then, where are they?
I couldn't get them.
What's she mean? Couldn't?
I know it's a word that we don't use, but they use it a lot down here. Down here, nobody seems to be able to make anything happen.
You mean we go on riding 8 to a bar?
You mean we've gone to all this bother for nothing?
Girls, this is the hour for action. We've been waiting the psychological moment. Up, witches! Strike! Strike for your rights! Are you content to be under witches all your immortal life?
Let's go into the house. Hecate isn't well enough to stand about out here.
Yes, and Grimalkin might go on stump-speeching for hours.
You've made the garden look very nice, girls.
Wait till you see the house.
Yes, I am waiting.
Oh, but where are all my flowers?
We couldn't let those flowers go to waste like that. We made a love potion out of them. Cupid'll take it. He's working overtime these days.
But where are all my antiques and the bric-a-brac and the pictures?
Oh, they were terribly untidy. I don't know how you left them lying about so long.
Oh, what did you do with them?
We swept them out. Doesn't it look clean?
But where are they?
In the garbage bin, of course.
Oh.
Well, aren't you pleased with it?
Oh, it's beautifully clean. What's that?
That's the vacuum cleaner.
But it's all in little pieces.
Yes, I know. We'd heard how much quicker they were than brooms. Grimalkin made a trial flight. It's not airborne at all.
Oh.
You look almost as pale as Hecate. Here. Sit here.
Thanks. Thanks awfully. Would someone be good enough to light the fire? I feel I need a little warmth.
Well, come on, girls. Let's get going.
What's the hurry, Hecate?
What's the point in staying?
Oh, you're not really going, are you? I didn't realize you'd be leaving so soon.
There's a lot of things you haven't realized yet.
I wish you wouldn't go like this. I'll never be able to thank you for what you did for Andrew.
All I wanted was a few new broomsticks.
Oh, I'd like to have been able to do something for you.
Oh, I never realized before what you mortals have to go through. Well, bye now, dearie.
You're really going?
We're on duty now. Come on, girls.
Oh, please, don't tramp all over the nice, clean window seat. You're making it all dirty.
It was dirty when we came, wasn't it?
Right. In line. Hold that broom steady. Left legs up. Over. Older girls. Well, what are you going to do when we leave? Sit there and moon about all the things you have to expect?
No. Actually, I've got a few things to look after in the garbage bin.
Well, cheerio. Over the moon. All witches in position. Keep her steady and level. With the right leg. Shove. Oh!
Yes, that's how it is. You sink down in your chair, stare into the fire. Your newspaper drops from your hand. Your eyes are enthralled by the phantom flames. You hear them spit and crackle and hiss. And all your consciousness becomes a warm maze of fantastic patterns and eerie sounds. And after a while, you imagine the strangest things.
You've just been drowsing with a young Australian housewife who sat down to watch the fire and met a number of witches who had some shopping on their mind. Tongues of Fire was written by Barbara Woodward of Sydney, Australia, and came to the attention of the Columbia Workshop through CBS's famous writer-director Norman Corwin, who recently completed a round-the-world trip by airplane. Today's special score was by Robert Ward, and the production was under the direction of Albert Ward. Appearing in the cast were Helen Clare as the young housewife, and Ethel Wilson as Hecate Hagg. Next week, over most of these same CBS stations coast to coast, the Columbia Workshop will present an unusual experiment in radio drama entitled The Surreal Marriage, written by Elwood Hoffman of the CBS Division of Program Writing, scored by Alexander Semler, and directed for the workshop by Werner Michel. Saturday night is good listening with CBS, so stay tuned in now for Larry Lesueur and the latest news over most of these same stations in just a few moments. This is Don Baker speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.